It's always good to be here with you and to study with you, and I just hope that as we study together, it can help each of us to better serve the Lord and be what He would have us to be. Appreciate so much the songs and the way you've entered into the singing, and it's just good to see you. Many of you are visiting, and we're glad to have visitors. Some of our family that's been gone off, and you're back home today, and we're glad to have you back home with us today also. So it's always good to be here. As we think about various religions and the founders of those religions, there's probably none that is more radical than Christianity. When you think about the things that Jesus taught, and you think about the things that He said, and you put that in the context of the world that He lived in, I'm not really sure that anybody could have been any more radical. I mean, Jesus said things to those people that went against everything that their religious leaders and religious teachers had been telling them for their whole life. He went against things that they had always thought as, this is the way religion is. This is what serving God is about. And Jesus came along and He said, that's not what it's about. That's not how you serve God. And so as you think about the fact that they were thinking how they had been taught, they were thinking about the world and their philosophies, and Jesus comes along and He says something different. Indeed, His teaching was radical, and probably nowhere is this seen any better than in what we sometimes refer to as the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And in this sermon that Jesus preaches, and this is very early in His ministry, Jesus sort of got off with a bang. If you go back to chapter 4, it says that He was preaching and teaching all around Galilee, and then He saw this great multitude of people following Him. In verse 1 of chapter 5, when He saw the multitudes, He went up on the mountain, He sat down, and He began to teach them. And so this is very early in His ministry, and He gets off with a real bang, you might say, when He preaches this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and especially starting with the Beatitudes. Because Jesus is saying some things here that just goes against their way of thinking and, to be quite honest, against our way of thinking today. Jesus said, if you really want to be happy, you got to be poor in spirit. Now, wait a minute. That don't even hardly make sense, does it? I mean, Jesus says, if you really want to be happy, then you need to mourn. And if you really want to be happy and content, you've got to be gentle and humble. That's not what the world says, is it? But that's what Jesus was teaching these people. And He goes on and He says, if you want to find satisfaction, then you need to really hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's how to be satisfied. But that wasn't what they had heard, and that's not what we're told today. Jesus said, if you want to find mercy, you need to learn how to show mercy. But that was a very radical teaching for those people in that day. And Jesus said, you know, if you really want to be pleasing to God, it's what's in the heart that matters. But if you really want to be happy, you got to be a peacemaker. And so Jesus talks about all of these things, and then He says, you know, you need to do good works. And of course, they were into that good work stuff. They really liked the idea of doing a lot of good works and being able to boast about their good works. And Jesus said, yeah, you need to do good works, but it's not to be seen of men. He said, what you need to do is you need to do good works that people will see them and then glorify God, not you. And He illustrates that with fasting, and He illustrates that with praying, and He illustrates that in chapter 6 with giving of alms. And so He teaches them some very radical things. But you know, Jesus Himself knew that what He was saying was radical, because 5 times there in chapter 5, He says to these people, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. This is what you've always been taught, but I'm going to tell you something different. And so He tells them there in verse 21 that, you've heard that it is said not to commit adultery. Well, that's not enough. You don't even lust after another person. I'm sorry, that's verse 27. Verse 21, he says, you've heard it said you shall not commit murder. But I tell you, don't even be angry with your brother. In fact, if you call him fool, you're in danger of going to hell. Well, that's pretty radical, isn't it? And so Jesus says in verse 33, he says, don't make false vows. In fact, you've heard that it said, you shall not make a false vow, but what I'm telling you is much better than that. Just make sure you always tell the truth, and then when you say something, everybody knows it's right. And so Jesus goes deeper than just what's on the outside. They had been taught from their very early years an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, that's not what it ought to be. If a man tries to take your coat away, give him your shirt too. One of those Roman soldiers compels you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Just do overdue for him. You've heard that it was said in verse 43 that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, you ought to love your enemy and pray for him. Do good to him. I mean, that was radical teaching. It was then and it is now. And as we look at these things, I want us to think about what Jesus is saying. In all of these, but we don't have time to cover the whole Sermon on the Mount, but I'd like for us to think about finding happiness. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning there in verse 1, we read the idea of finding happiness, and Jesus said when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, and then he begins. He says, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, or happy are you, when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so in that very first verse we read that he went up on the mountain and he sat down, he opened his mouth, he began to teach them, and what we see there is that it was the common practice of a rabbi to sit down while teaching. And the idea of opening his mouth is that was a phrase that was used to designate that he was making a declaration of fact or teaching with authority. And so when Jesus does this, this was common to them. This was not something that was unusual. Now, we don't see that a lot today, but the fact is that Jesus is teaching them as one of their authorities or one of their teachers that were sanctioned. But what he says is far from that. The result was, when he got through teaching these words, it says the multitudes were amazed at his teaching. Because he was teaching as one that had authority and not as their scribes. So there was a whole lot more to it than just his posture. The fact is, the things that Jesus said, he spoke them with authority. You know, there is a way of saying things with authority so that people believe you know what you're talking about. Diane has said sometimes that when we first got married, she thought I was the smartest person in the world. Then after several years, she figured out I was making up all that stuff. But I said it with authority, and she said, yep, it must be right. But Jesus was speaking with authority. He said it, and he said what he said made sense to them, and it was in such a way that they knew Jesus meant what he said when he said, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, and he told them something different from what they had been used to hearing. And so Jesus begins with each of these Beatitudes that we're going to look at this morning with, "Blessed are you." To be blessed means to be happy, but it's not a happiness that comes from our circumstances and the things that are around us, but it is a happiness that comes from deep down inside of us because of who we are and what we are in our relationship with God. It is a contentment and an inner peace that is free from worry and free from anxiety. And so we read in Philippians 4 in verses 6 and 7 where Paul says that the peace of God surpasses all comprehension. He said, just turn it over to God and you can have a peace that the world does not understand. And that's the kind of peace and happiness that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5. So how does Jesus say we can be happy? Well, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To be poor to these people meant destitute. By our standards, most of them were poor. But the fact is, they use the word poor to mean what we usually say is absolutely destitute, don't even have anything. They don't even know if they're going to have food to eat tomorrow. They don't know if they're going to have anything to eat today. They may have to let their kids eat and they go hungry. And two meals a day was common practice, not three. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And so in a spiritual sense that Jesus is talking about, the poor in spirit are those who see themselves as rank sinners, unfit to receive anything good from God. And Jesus says, if we want to be happy, then we've got to recognize that when we stand before God, we don't deserve anything but punishment. We are all rank sinners, and we need to understand that as we stand before God. But then he says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, we need God. If we're going to have this kingdom of heaven, we need God. And until we realize that we are not self-sufficient and that we can't be right with God on our own, we will never be part of His kingdom. Nor will we be a part of the life to come. And so we must recognize who we are as we stand before God. And it's interesting that this is where Jesus begins this discussion, because this is the beginning place of coming to God and finding happiness in our lives. And then he says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Jesus is referring here to those who are mourning for their sinfulness. This one follows right on the heels of the previous one. And he says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Those who mourn because of their sin and their sinfulness, because they have sinned against God. And you remember Romans 3 and verse 23, where Paul says that all have sinned. And then he says, "And fall short of the glory of God." And as I recognize who God is, and I recognize the majesty and the glory of my God, I recognize how little I am and how sinful I am. I recognize how far I fall short of His glory. And it gives me every reason to mourn. It gives you every reason to mourn. But he says these are the ones that will be comforted. You see, the comfort that we find is in repentance and it's in forgiveness. And the fact is that when I am willing to mourn for my sin and I recognize my sin and I turn away from it and I ask God to forgive me of my sin, then when I find forgiveness, I can find happiness. But this kind of happiness, this true happiness, is only found in Jesus Christ. You remember the story that Jesus told over in Luke chapter 18, beginning there about verse 10. And he told the story of the publican and the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood up and he just looked around and up to God and he said, "Oh Lord God, I'm thankful that I'm not like this sinner over here. I fast and I tithe," and he named off all these wonderful things that he does. And he said the publican would not even look up, would not even lift his eyes toward heaven, but he smote himself on the breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus said that publican went away from there more justified than the Pharisee. You see, he was mourning for his sin. but he found comfort. He found peace because he knew that God had forgiven him. Jesus said, blessed are the gentle. Some translations say, blessed are the meek, or blessed are the humble. And a lot of times people equate gentleness or meekness or humility with some kind of weakness. But it is not. It is power under control. And the fact is, when we recognize that we are the children of God, we know that we have the power of God in our lives. We have the power of God in our hearts. And the fact is, we have no reason to be cowards, but rather we can be bold in Jesus Christ. But we use this power only for His glory, and so meekness is power under control. We're told that Jesus was meek, and yet when the time was needed, He made a whip out of cords, and He drove the animals and the money changers out of the temple. He didn't back down. Moses, it says, is more meek than all of the men of the earth, and yet he led Israel from the bondage in Egypt to the new land of Canaan. He wasn't weak. He wasn't a coward. But he used the power of God in his life, and we have it today if we'll but use it. And so he says, these shall inherit the earth. We need to understand that everything in the world is for our use. It's for our good. God has given it to us to use to His glory. And so we inherit the earth even now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You know, the world says, if you want to be happy, then one of the number one things people say is, man, if I had money. In fact, there was a survey taken not too long ago, and it asked, what would it take to make you happy? You know what the number one answer was? Win the lottery. Win the lottery. If I could win the lottery. There was a guy in Pennsylvania who won the lottery. He won $11 million, I believe it was. In the first year, his wife divorced him and got half of it. His kids wouldn't speak to him. And his brother-in-law and his sister were arrested because they had hired a hitman to kill him. What happy, isn't it? You see, the fact is, that's not what brings happiness. The fact is, many people today say, oh, if I had power, if I had prestige, if I had, you know, and they name all of these different things. But Jesus said, if you really want to be satisfied, hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm going to tell you the number one reason too many of us as Christians are not happy is because we give God half-hearted service. When we learn to give ourselves completely to God, and we learn to serve God first and in every way and everything, and we put Him ahead of all of the material things of this life, then we can find a happiness and a peace that the world does not know and cannot know. There was an article this past week, and I didn't take the time to read the article. I just read the headlines. I do that a lot. But I read the headlines, and it was an article that was published. It had been put on Facebook, and it was when Baal, B-A-L-L, becomes Baal, B-A-A-L. And I can just guess, and I didn't read the article, but I can tell you pretty much what it said, I bet you. Because what it said is, we let the things of this world, things that are not wrong in themselves, become a god to us, and they take the place of God in serving God. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, the idea of hungering and thirsting after righteousness was not like the idea that I would say, I'm hungry right now, or I'm thirsty right now. Because I've had this much water since I got to church, and it's down to here now. Besides what I drank at the water fountain between. So I'm not really thirsty. I might think, well, I'm a little bit thirsty and I need a drink, but not really thirsty. I'm not really all that hungry. Diane made me an omelet this morning. Sausage, egg, and cheese omelet. She does almost every morning. I love her for it too. But then I ate some orange rolls on top of that. So I'm not really hungry right now. I might think, well, I'm a little bit hungry. When Jesus said those that are hungering and thirsting, he's talking about like that guy that's out in the desert that hasn't had any water to drink for a day and a half and he hasn't had any food in 4 days. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about somebody that's got to have it to survive. And when we learn that we have got to have God and His righteousness in our hearts and our lives to survive day by day, then we can be satisfied as He is talking about here. All of the things of this life are fleeting. They're passing away. A little later in this same sermon in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, if you don't want to worry about anything, then you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put God first, and then you can have the true satisfaction and the true happiness. The more we give ourselves to God, the happier and the more satisfied we can be. But then Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. He says, if you want to receive mercy, then you've got to show mercy. You remember the parable of the unmerciful servant, the guy that owed his master, what was it, $1 million or something, and his master forgave him, and he went out and found a fellow servant that owed him a quarter, and he bound him and put him in prison and began to choke him and all that stuff and said, you'll stay in jail till you pay me. And his master called him in. He said, what have you done? He said, I showed you mercy and forgave you this huge debt, and you didn't even forgive him that little bitty debt. Should you not have shown mercy even as I showed you mercy? Should you not have been forgiving as I was forgiving to you? And he says, cast this fellow into outer darkness. And Jesus said, that's what will happen to you if you don't show mercy to others. In teaching his disciples to pray in the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the same sermon, one of the things that he tells them is to say, Father, forgive us our trespasses, even as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. And then when he finished the prayer, verses 14 and 15, he said, if we don't forgive those who trespass against us, God will not forgive us. And so we need to learn to be forgiving, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, no matter how much we have been hurt. Because I'm going to tell you something, if God can forgive me and God can forgive you when we have done what we have done to Him and it cost Him the Son, His Son to die on the cross, then what in the world has anybody done to me or to you that even begins to compare with that? We need to learn to be forgiving if we want to receive forgiveness. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 that God is rich in mercy. But if we want it, we've got to show mercy to others. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The idea of pure in heart is the idea of no deceit and no guile. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalms 24. He says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so we must have a pure heart if we're going to please God, if we're going to be happy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The world doesn't really appreciate peace. The idea of peace in the world is that I'd get what I want and I take what I want and everybody else learns to live with it. And that's sort of the idea of peace. And that's not really the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. In James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, James discusses wisdom from above as opposed to wisdom from this world. And he says that if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly and natural and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. Is then peaceful or peaceable. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's gentle. Blessed are the meek. You see, this is the wisdom that comes from God. It's reasonable. It's full of mercy. Good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And so we see that peace is one of the cornerstones of serving God. And when we have that kind of peace, then we can have a peace that in fact is beyond understanding for the world. It is an inner peace. Peace with ourselves, peace with those around us, and peace with God. And so we are to be peaceful as much as possible. Paul says, be at peace with all men as much as it lies within you. But you know, the fact is, the more I seek to be like Jesus, because he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be sons of God. And the more I seek to be like Jesus, I'm going to try to be a peacemaker just like Jesus was. But you know what happened to Jesus? Because he tried to be a peacemaker and bring peace to the world, he was mistreated. He was maligned. He was talked about. He was insulted. And eventually he was killed. And so as a part of being a peacemaker, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Not just for any reason, but for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. There's no benefit. Peter tells us that it doesn't do any good to suffer as an evildoer. But he said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed of that name. Paul said, those that are godly will suffer. And so, yes, if we're going to serve God, we seek to bring peace. But the fact is that by being strong with the gospel and teaching the gospel, and I'm not talking about being obnoxious or inconsiderate in any way, but simply trying to love others and share the gospel with them many times, will bring persecution and insults and difficulty in our lives. But he said, you're not alone. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Peter begins 1 Peter by saying, rejoice when you suffer, because you're counted worthy to suffer with Jesus. James says, count it joy when you suffer all kinds of trials, because it builds your faith. And so we're going to suffer from time to time, but let's make sure that when we do, it's because of our faith in Jesus Christ and our commitment to Him. Are you happy today? You can find real happiness and lasting happiness in Jesus Christ. If you're willing to come to Him and to confess your faith in Him as the Son of God and to turn away from sin, you can have your sins forgiven. You can become a child of God. And you can have the peace of God in your hearts. This morning, if you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.